it's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Galveston, Texas. And yes, we are staying in Galveston until needs are met here. And let me tell you something about Galveston. There are needs. And you know what? Be honest with you. If we sit there and wait for politicians, we wait for our government to meet those needs, we're going to be let down. This is actually the responsibility of us, the church. What a time to respond to needs of our brothers and sisters. Well, listen, today we want to get right into this because we have a lot to talk about. We have Matt Stanford with us, and the locals will know him as
Matt.
As Matt? It's Matt. I was going to say Polish.
Well, Polish, yeah, is one of the names.
Yeah, Matt Stanford is, you've done a lot of plays, and you do video, and actually you have a program that is on the local channel here 6 days a week, am I right?
Actually, it was. It's no longer there. We are getting ready to initiate a new process where we try to negotiate some time with the local station again. But right now we do videos and we run a system inside of where we work, and it runs throughout the day, and that's what we do.
But you know what? It is still available on YouTube, and I want to encourage people to check. How would they find any of your stuff on YouTube?
If you go to the YouTube website and then type in the word Baldilocks, that's Baldilox, it'll come up on all of the videos that we created, and there are about 8 or 9 on there, and we're steady adding and removing, so they'll rotate in and out, but you know.
They're very well done. We've had the opportunity to see some of your work, and you do some documentaries as well.
Yes.
But let's get to the base. You're a local.
I am. I'm a born on the island guy, BOI, 55 years old. I have a family and a wife, children, grown children, grandchildren. Really? I work at St. Vincent's Episcopal House. I've been there for about almost 8 years. I run a gang intervention program, and I do education and outreach activities.
Wow. So this gives us an opportunity to learn about what the heartbeat of Galveston is. Maybe you can give us a contrast between the pre-Ike Galveston and the post-Ike Galveston.
Pre-Ike Galveston. You could go with a moderate income and find wonderful places to eat, to lounge, to take your children, and just have a good time. There were a lot of things here that were available to the public, and then that's any stratum, any class. The Strand was wide open, shops, cafes, the theater district is strong in Galveston. It's a wonderful community-type theater group, and they welcome actors, and it's a nurturing thing at the Galveston theaters. That's the downtown area. The beachfront was just a beautiful place. There were nice restaurants, cafes, hotels that had bands playing. It was just good to just travel down the beach, look at the horizon, just enjoy yourself. You could go to any store and get whatever it was you want. The stores were everywhere. People were people in Galveston. This is a small island, and you know, we've got what everybody else has. This is one of those metropolitan small places, though.
I was going to say, it sounds a little like a smaller area, but it offers a lot of things big cities do.
It does. In fact, the Houstonites call us their playground, and a lot of Houston people come down and just enjoy the water and the island mystique, and then they travel back where they live. Since Ike, the Strand is not... it's coming up very slowly. It's not available for...
Well, explain to some of us, because a lot of people back in Louisiana and Eastern Texas aren't going to understand what the Strand is.
Okay, the Strand, it starts from about 25th Street and travels back to about 19th or 18th Street. And there are shops, wonderful shops. It's near the harbor side, which is north of the beachfront. And the harbor side is where the ships are. The cruise ship terminals are down there. And it's just a wonderful, quaint little place to go and just stroll and meet people, you know, stop in the shops, buy just any manner of, it's just a beautiful place to go spend time with the family, with the kids, and enjoy yourself.
Okay, now before you get into the post, Ike Galveston, I want to ask you one other question, because being on ships, we've had the opportunity to go to many ports, and typically port cities have another side to them as well. Do you find that true of Galveston as well?
To a degree.
Okay.
To a degree. But basically, this city is a city where you don't have to too much worry about your pocket getting picked or somebody knocking you in the head too much. I mean, it happens. It does happen. It happens anywhere. Yeah. It happens in the best of places.
Yes.
From time to time. But I'm just happy to say that in Galveston, it's not a lot of that you hear.
Good. Good.
So, you know, that's why I think it's a nice place. I take my kids down there all the time.
Amen. So. Okay. Now, let's get into the post. How has Hurricane Ike changed things for Galveston?
Well, the storm came in from the south end of the island and east, but it pushed water around the island, and the water came onto the island from the back of the island, the bay side. Mm-hmm. Now, since the strand borders the bay, that place got water before anything else. Before the storm hit here, there was already 2 or 3 feet of water on the strand. And then as the storm progressed, they got a lot of water. Some places got 7, 8 feet of water and higher in some areas, and that's the north of Broadway side. The shops, man, the wonderful shops, they all suffered. They're all closed now. You can see people down there in some parts of the day, and they're trying to bring them back, but at night, it's a ghost town. Other parts of the island, like the beachfront, is open again. And so you can go to some hotels, you can go to some clubs, some bars, some stores. But the strand, where I like to be, is coming up a little slower than the rest of them.
Are you finding that people are back now, or are they slowly coming back?
I would say both things are happening. There are a group of people here who have a stake in the island and who want to be here. But there are other people who are trickling in, still trickling in from other places. A lot of them who live in the public housing don't have that anymore, because most of those units were on the north side of Broadway, on the bay side where the water came in first, and it came in deep. So those guys don't have any place to live. They can't go back to those places anymore. They're condemned. Yeah. There are fences around them. So they either have to find relatives, find hotels, or they have to move off the island and do the same thing. A lot of them say that they're being helped by FEMA and other agencies, but you know, you just wonder how long that's going to last, and you wonder if they're prepared to make the next step, which may be to either move on or move up one way or the other.
Okay. We first met you today over at St. Vincent's, and this is an incredible place that is full of paintings, and you can just feel life there. Music going, beautiful music. Even though it's been hit hard, you guys are up and going. You guys are going full force there.
Michael Jackson, who's the executive director of St. Vincent's House, is a visionary guy. He took over from Miss Alfreda Houston, who was the matriarch of St. Vincent for years and years. And St. Vincent's House is a product of the Episcopal Diocese. It's an outreach agency, a mission. And for 54 years, they have been in the middle of that very depressed neighborhood, been an oasis of hope.
Yeah.
And so all of the workers there, we have taken that to heart. So our thing is to serve the people who are less fortunate as best we can. We have a wonderful staff, and this staff makes every effort to find ways to support ourselves so that we can do the things that people who are less fortunate need us to do for them, to point them in the directions they need to be, to offer the spiritual support, the physical support, the mental support. We do all manner of things over there. There is a daycare center, which was on the downstairs level and got a lot of water.
Yeah.
But because that daycare center served the working poor at a cost that no one else could beat, because we felt like people need somewhere to keep their children. They need a place where these children can go and learn something that any other daycare would teach them. Mm. And that's our pride. So right now we're working on finding another building, and we do have one in sight. We're working on permits and whatnot. So I'd say in a week or so, we should be back up again with the daycare in a smaller capacity, but up enough to make some moves toward growing that situation. We do clinics in cooperation with UTMB, the medical branch, we do clinics 5 days a week and then I think twice a month on Saturdays. The clinics are from 10 o'clock to 2 on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and then from 4 to 7 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. General clinics, women's wellness clinics, men's health clinics, psych clinics. We do as much as we can. We have some very experienced doctors and nurses who recently came in and back, and they are providing us with a level of service that is far beyond our wildest dreams. These experienced doctors know how to get meds and prescribe for the patients, so they've been a big help to us.
This is quite an undertaking. I mean, when we're talking about grooming children up the way their parents would like them groomed up, medical needs, community needs, you guys are doing something for Thanksgiving. You've been doing this for years.
Yes.
Serving the community with the love of Jesus Christ. But now you've been hit along with those residents that needed help beforehand. Now things have changed a little bit. Do you need some help? And I don't mean it to sound like you guys are insufficient, but there's people out there that would love to help. First of all, are you a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit. We have a 501c3, and we've been in operation like that for many, many, many years. I'll tell you what it was. My boss and I were one of the first employees back, and he got back on the 20th, and I was back on the 21st. And we've been working every day to get that place mucked out, along with a professional company that came in hazmat certified, because the water and you know, what was in there was not a good thing.
Yeah.
And we've been there. And our thing was this. We felt like we needed to get back up. One, it helped us not fall into any sorrows about what our state was. Sometimes if you start to help other people, you realize that your needs are not as great as you think they are.
Yeah.
Though they may be.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as you're helping somebody else, it seems to diminish your needs. We have been fortunate enough that we're doing God's work, that people have been blessing us with all kinds of aids, whether it be physically volunteering or monetary gifts or gifts of materials and equipment that are needed to get us back up. We were also surprised at the number of people that came to us and said, what can we do so that St. Vincent's House gets back on its feet quickly? That energized us like you wouldn't believe. And it sort of made us forget about what we needed. I think about 2 weeks ago, my boss finally came to me and said, Matt, I think I'll have my nervous breakdown now. and I got that. I understood it, because I think what he was saying was, we've been working, helping so many other families that our own families may have been suffering somewhat.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any time off, because when we finally did get a couple of weekends off, we had to clean up our own houses and take care of our own families. And I think physically it was taking a toll. I'm for sure mentally it was. But what was driving us was to see the place coming back alive, to see our clients starting to return, to see the volunteers showing up every day and ready to do the work. That was a blessing that made us just say, okay, God, you've gotten us this far, and I'm sure you'll give us the strength to go further. So, you know, we're just going to grind away at this thing until it gets done.
Amen. You know, and there was something noticeable right away. There's a lot of other ministries that do similar things, but there was something lacking in those places, and you guys have seemed to have found it, that contagious smile that runs throughout all the employees there. You don't find that coldness of a medical clinic. You don't feel like you're in the way of anybody there. You feel like a special guest when you walk through those doors.
Michael Jackson's vision is for all of the employees to be agents of hope. And, you know, you, with a stern face, you can't be an agent of hope with a stern face. So you have to find some joy within yourself. And you know where your joy comes from.
Amen.
It comes from Christ.
We got to take a break. But we're going to be right back with Matt Stanford. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Join us now for 60 Seconds with Sondra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
If we believe in the scriptures that tell us that Jesus died so that we could be saved, then we have to believe that all the other scriptures are true, including the many that talk about how important it is to God for us to love our neighbor and be active in helping the poor. These scriptures are true, not fairy tales, not fortune cookies or the meditation of mortal men. God really loves us so intimately that He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He tells us not to worry about our life, what we will eat or drink, or about our body, what we will wear. The Word tells us that life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothing. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. What are you putting first in your life?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to www.friendships.org. Okay, we're back with Matt Stanford, and we were sharing a little bit about St. Vincent's Episcopal House here on Galveston Island. He is born and raised here. Now, Matt, one thing we didn't do was give some information. Matt, do you have any websites or phone numbers that people would be able to get
hold of? Actually, we have all of that. The physical address is 2817 Post Office Street in Galveston, Texas. It's very easy to find. Just come down Broadway to 29th Street, make a left, and then come up to Post Office. And you'll see this huge two-story yellow building with murals and paintings everywhere.
Oh, it's unmistakable.
And there'll be music playing, so that'll be us. We have a website. It's stvhope.org, and our phone number is 409-763-8521. And you'll get an agent of hope, which is what we call ourselves, and that's what we try to be.
One more time while we're at it, on these web addresses, why don't you give your YouTube thing again?
Oh, my YouTube address for the videos that my group, which is called Stage Right Productions, it's a group of kids from the depressed neighborhood that no longer exists, but we're getting back together, and it's called Stage Right Productions. You go to YouTube first, and then you type in the word Baldilocks. That's B-A-L-D-I-L-O-X-X.
What's the story behind that name?
One of my children gave me that when I started going bald, and I just cut all my hair off, and one of my daughters called me Baldilocks.
Go figure, the kids, huh? You got to love them.
It's stuck.
Why don't you tell us how you came to know the Lord?
I'm the oldest of eight children. My parents had me late. I think my father was 44, my mother was 33 when I was born. And so, you know, I came up with parents who understood, you know, what parenting was all about. They had just been around long enough to be settled enough to raise children properly. And I was. Joined the military. Stayed in the military for 10 years, United States Air Force, and went and did some things for the country in Southeast Asia from 71 to 75. Did a couple of tours there. And experienced some things that probably weren't good for the soul and, you know, caused some problems later. You know, got into the wrong crowds and started using my expertise for the wrong things and, you know, had to pay for that. And I did. But all of the things that I learned as a child came back to me in a way that was real enough for me to grab onto and pull me out of whatever hole I was in.
So you're saying you had a household that there were some believers, or was there any church going as a young age?
Oh, was there church? Man, I'm telling you, I was in everything.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the church we went to was it was a Shiloh AME church, and there were youth programs, and we enjoyed being in church because there were a large group of kids always there our age. We learned from ministers and teachers who were well-versed in God's work and who had experienced life in a way that they did it with joy. They taught us with joy. They showed us things. And they gave us lessons from the Bible that stuck with us. So we had the things that we needed. Raise them up in the way they should go? Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, they did that. They did that. Mm-hmm. It was a part of who we were. So we were well-versed with all of the things that a Christian needs to be versed in.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know, energetic people sometimes test boundaries. And I guess I was one of those ones, being the oldest son, that tested boundaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you get out there on a jagged edge, you know, you slip and get cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was saved. God saw fit to save me. Mm. So my thing now is to give back, give something back. My family's okay. My children are grown. When they need me, I'm there. My grandchildren, when they need me, I'm there. But giving in my community is just something that I got from my father and my mother. My mother was a giver. She was one that made sure
that. Let me ask you before we go any farther, when you do this, because you do give back to the community, you don't give back just in little ways. You give yourself back to the community. Are you doing this to try and earn favor with God, or is it just a result of being saved?
I know that. It was no skill I had that saved me. It was no knowledge I had that saved me. I know I got pulled out of some really tough situations by somebody's prayer and God's hand. I know that. And with that, I just feel like I need to be doing something good for people. I don't care about people thanking me. I don't care about awards. I really don't. I'm an actor, but I'm a very shy person when it comes to people saying that was a great job. I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always looking at, I could have done better. And that's what kind of achiever I am. You can't continue to achieve by resting on some laurels. So I always need to be moving to the next thing once I finish this deal. And I just thank God for the opportunity again, because I just know of so many folk that I used to be with and hang with and run with that are not here, are not well, yeah. are not able to. And, you know, it could be survivor's guilt. It could just be that, you know, I'm just really thankful that I got saved.
Yeah. All these things that you've done in your life, you seem to have fit right into what you're doing right now quite nicely.
I would say that probably has to do with being a little nuts.
Explain that. I don't follow you on that.
You know, when I get up in the morning, sometimes I don't line out some objectives that I need to accomplish that day. Sometimes I do. My job just depends on that, me being able to do that. Yeah. But sometimes I just get up and I just go, and I go where I'm led. And sometimes you have to be, and I call it nuts, but that's just a word I use to keep myself humble. You know, I have to kind of like poke fun at myself, because the one thing I don't want to do is just get too serious about my achievements or what I've done or where I'm coming from or where I need to go. I don't. So, you know, I call myself nuts because sometimes I just let go and I let the Spirit lead me.
Amen.
And it takes a bit of courage. Yeah. It takes a bit of faith to do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. How would you encourage somebody to do that?
Let go and do it. I mean, just watch the people who do it. And see, if they stumble and fall, what do the people of faith do? They get back up, and they take that step again. So it's just a matter of, you know, Nike stole something. Nike stole that just do it deal. But that's what God is asking you to do. Just trust me. Just do what you need to do and trust me to make the way smooth.
It seems like so many people wait for the preparation to be done before they act. Do you think that's important, or do you think that's an excuse sometimes?
You know, you have to look at that person. What does that person need before he gets it? We're of the ilk that we look at things that need to be done and we just do it. We ask how, but we're moving as we're asking. We're on our way toward it.
Yeah.
And I just think people who need that ordaining and all of that, maybe that's something psychologically that they need. But if they're on the path, eventually they get to the point where you have to leave all that behind and you have to get down there where it's dirty and you got to just do the work.
Amen. And don't misunderstand me. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a biblical scholar.
No.
That's great ammo. That's an arrow in your quiver. But faith in action. Man, that's power. Power to love as God would love.
That's it. And you got to do that. That doesn't come out of a book.
No.
You got to do that. You got to let that get in you and do it.
Well, let's give that website one more time and the phone number.
Okay, it's stvhope.org. And the phone number is 409-763-8521.
And if you would say there was one thing that could help you get back to helping those in Galveston the most quickly, what would you ask for?
Our mission is outreach. Our mission is hope. And what people need, their material needs are, you know, you can receive that from donations, but a lot of it takes money to get it done. And, you know, we just trust that God makes the way. We look for opportunity where we can use the money and get the money in order to increase our programs. It's like we can further extend our hand to help if we got some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do a certain amount of work.
There's another benefit to that as well, because they are spending the money here in Galveston, which helps the economy, which helps create jobs, that they're taking that money, spending it in Galveston, stimulating the economy to help those residents of Galveston. So it's a win-win situation. If you can at all send money, that would be the best help. But if not, call them up. Write them on the webpage and get a hold of them. I mean, I will guarantee you that you will come away from that phone call or that email blessed and encouraged. Anyways, thank you so much for being here. And one more time before we go, where can people see your videos?
They can see the videos on YouTube. Go to the YouTube website and then type in the word Baldilocks.
That's Baldilocks.
Baldilocks. Baldilocks.
And you know what? Mr. Polish is worth watching. You know, that guy is something else. Does he ever come out in your normal everyday activities?
You know, some of his sayings, I got that from like an uncle that I had, kind of like,
what,
know,
a character.
Gregarious like that.
So. Well, we encourage everyone to go check out all the resources available. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Love to have you back down the road a little bit if we get a chance.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. If you'd like to, I'd certainly like to come back.
All right. Well, God bless you. And thank you all for joining us here on Radio Friendships, where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many wonderful ways throughout the world to serve Him. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.